Chapter 6, and I thought I'd talk about verses 9 through 15. It's the Lord's Prayer. Now, some people believe that you shouldn't pray this word for word. Well, I don't think you ought to do it all the time, but I think as long as you are thinking what you're praying while you pray it, it's about the best prayer you can pray. The Lord indicated that in verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, but they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And they would chant, "Oh, oh Lord, oh Lord, our God is all is one." That's what they do today, and they chant. But the Lord said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, he used this as a general guide, and the attitude here, I think, is extremely important. So if you have the right attitude when you pray this prayer and you think about it, what you're saying and what it means, then I think you can use these words as long as you're thinking what these words mean. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." And I pray this sometimes, matter of fact, quite often. And when I do, I think of my Father in heaven. I think of what Christ did when he died for me, so that he could become my Father. And he became my spiritual Father a long time ago when I trusted in Jesus. So when I pray this prayer, and I'm serious, I'm not just giving you a line here, I think of him in heaven. I realize he's in heaven. I realize he's there. I believe he's listening. And then the second part, "Hallowed be thy name." I stop myself when I come to this for just a moment, and I think about this Father of mine in heaven, who is the creator and king of all the universe, who created heavens and the earth, who will create a new heaven and a new earth. And I realize that in his infinite mercy and wisdom, he allowed his only begotten Son to die for me. And I think about his name. The Bible says there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved, referring to his Son's name, of course. But I think about the sanctity, the reverence, the respect that I owe to him. And so I really do, and the Lord knows I'm telling you the truth. When I pray this prayer, I think of, sometimes at night when I'm real tired, I don't go through all this, but I think about how much reverence and respect and awe I ought to have toward his name. I make myself stop and realize who I'm addressing, who I'm praying to. Now, if I were to just say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen." That's using it as a vain repetition. You don't even think about what you're saying. But if you think about what you're saying and meditate on it, then it becomes meaningful to you. Now, next he says, "Thy kingdom come." When you pray that, here's what you're saying. "Lord, I want your kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come." You're saying, "Lord, I would rather have you and your kingdom here than what I've got around me now. All the pleasures of the world, all the things that give my flesh joy and satisfaction, I would rather have your kingdom come right now." And you're requesting that his kingdom come. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." When I pray this, I stop myself right after each point here. I stop and I think, what a wonderful thing it would be. What a wonderful thing it would be if I didn't have a carnal nature. What a wonderful thing it would be if every man did God's will 24 hours a day. What a wonderful thing it would be if there was no sin. And then when it says, "Thy kingdom come," before it, that's requesting the Lord to come in anticipation of the time when his will be done on the earth, and we will be here in glorified bodies, and it will be a time of great joy and satisfaction. I love this prayer. And I do use it an awful lot, to tell you the truth. But I do think when I say it every time. I used to pray long, lengthy prayers. Tell God everything. I even used to try to give God advice. That's rather stupid, but I didn't know any better. I used to pray for what I thought ought to be done. I stopped that a long time ago because I discovered I don't know very much. I also discovered most other people don't know very much either. I discovered that God's the only one who does, and so I do a lot of praying and thinking when I pray this and try in my mind and heart to concentrate on what I'm saying and what it means. Now, here in Matthew, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, in Luke, it says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And what I'm asking God to do here is to day by day give me my daily necessities that keep this body functioning. And you know, God always has. God has always done that. All my life, God has provided for me. And when I hit this verse, I thank God. I thank God for giving it to me yesterday. I thank God for giving it to me today. And I thank God for giving it to me tomorrow. And so when it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," while I'm down here, I've got to function in this body. I ask God to give me my daily bread. I try to operate on what I need. I try not to. I don't want a lot of money from God because I'm afraid I'd misuse it. I don't want a lot of wealth. I don't want a lot of pride and recognition. I used to. But just you give me pride and recognition and you give me money, and my carnal man will take over every time. I've learned myself. So I want from God, and I know he'll provide it because he promised. So when I say, "Give us this day," I use Luke. I say, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And I'm not just praying for the daily bread of myself and my wife. Now, a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them, and don't get irritated with me if I say this and you don't agree with it, please. Down here, they say, when you come to this part, "And forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors." When I pray this, so help me, I pray it for myself. I pray it for everyone that's a member of this church. And I pray it for my family. I do. And those are the things I'm praying for. For you, for myself, and for my family. I don't change this into an individual prayer. And you say, "Well, you shouldn't. I should ask for forgiveness of my own sins." Well, in a moment, we'll come down to something, and I wish you'd think about it. Because I've heard a lot of people, when they come to the last of this, they switch that around. You don't have to. And listen, I'd appreciate it very, very much, and I'm being open and honest with you. I'd appreciate it very, very much if when you pray this prayer, you'd pray it for me, and you'd pray it for the other members of the church, and pray it for yourself and for others. You know, Job offered sacrifices for his sons because he thought they might have sinned. And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking it. In a moment, I'll try to explain why. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, all I'm asking God is to forgive Giles McVeigh his debts as Giles McVeigh forgives his debtors. I'm asking, forgive Kenneth his debts as he forgives his debtors. Forgive me my debts as we forgive our debtors. If I don't forgive those that sin against me, if Giles doesn't forgive those that sin against him, if Kenneth doesn't forgive those that sin against him, God's not going to forgive us anyway. And so it's a kind of a conditional type of prayer. But I don't pray. Some people say, "This is a public prayer." Yeah, it's a public prayer. But it's a public prayer that can be prayed privately. And it's a prayer that you offer up not just for yourself, but he was teaching the whole group there how to pray. And I don't think it's wrong when you pray at night to ask God to help others to forgive those that trespass against them. And certainly we ought to ask God to help us forgive one another as we trespass against one another. This verse 13 is a very difficult verse. And I'd be a liar if I said I had this thing completely figured out. But as well as I can tell, you've got to take these next two expressions and put them together. "And lead us not into temptation," into testing, "but deliver us from evil." And I think what he's doing is what James was talking about. We get tempted, and our lust starts leading us toward committing the actual evil. And we proceed toward it. And we're saying, "Lord, Lord, as we go into temptation, Lord, turn us and deliver us before it carries out its ultimate conclusion." Once I get something in my mind, I head toward an evil thought. It may be lust, it may be envy, it may be jealousy, it may be suspicion, it may be a million and one things. But I really think what this is doing is, it's not saying that God tempts us, but it's really a request. When we are being led toward temptation, God turn us around and deliver us out of it before we commit the ultimate act. Everybody gets tested. And if you pass the test, you turn in from it by the power of God and He delivers you. But sometimes you carry it to an ultimate conclusion and you say things or do things that you wish you had never done. And then it's too late because you've committed the ultimate end of the original testing. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, in all the older documents, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This wasn't in there. But it is in the original received text. And so I'm going to go with that. And that's what I pray. Because even if it wasn't in the original document, and I'm convinced it was, it is, His is the kingdom, His is the power, and His is the glory forever. Verses 14 and 15 are very important for us. It's very important for me. It's very important for every one of you. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Every time that I pray that verse, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I'll tell you what comes flowing through my mind. And as I said earlier, I use this prayer an awful lot. I use it an awful lot in my private prayers, but I think an awful lot about what I'm saying and the events of the day and the events of the week and the events of the month. And I look in my own heart and I say, am I going to forgive those people or this person or that person? Am I going to forgive them? And I'm pretty well stuck with something here that's an absolute fact. God's clearly told me if I don't forgive them, He's not going to forgive me. That doesn't mean I go to hell. But it means He's going to punish me. It means I'm going to get zapped. Now, sometimes God will play a long string with you, and He won't punish you. He'll give you lots of time. But if you keep a grudge, and if you keep hatred in your heart, and if you keep malice in your heart, if you keep wrath or anger in your heart toward a fellow brother or sister in Christ, pretty soon, at the end of that string, God's going to say, that's enough, and He's going to zap you. He zapped me before. I hope He zaps me again. I know He will when I need it. But it's very important in a church that the members learn to forgive one another. That's what the Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And forgiveness is the key to love. If you really love somebody because they're in the same body that you are, accomplishing the same thing that you are, even though there may be differences in opinion about different aspects of it, if you can't forgive them, you're the one that suffers the most. I have suffered more over not forgiving people than I have over anything else. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I love this prayer. And if you knew how often I used it, you probably wouldn't think much of me as a pastor. I use it all the time, tell you the truth. Sometimes I just speak openly with God and talk to Him when I've got a real burden on my heart or something's really come over me. But I've looked at this thing and I think, you know, Jesus gave this. And sure, it's a model prayer. But He told the church they ought to pray that way. So if I pray this and I think about what I'm praying and mean it, I can't think of a better prayer. So that's the devotional. And y'all can go to your classes and I'll start on some other stuff here. You know, Jack Branch asked me a question one time. And every time I come across something, Bob, that thing's going up there if you want to shut her down. And every time I prepare something and I think, well, I'll answer Jack's question, they don't show up. So here I am with a Sunday school lesson to answer his question. But they're